Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Jesse Green here at the control panels as always. And today is a very special day because I get to introduce you to a mentor of mine, Paul Dunn. Paul has been a mentor of mine for a couple of years, and I know he's mentored lots of really influential business people around the world. He's very active in the entrepreneurial space. What he's most well known for, in recent years at least, is through his involvement with B1G1. He is the chairman of Buy One, Give One, Business for Good. And I wanted to have a conversation with Paul about purpose and creating a purpose-driven practice and what that might mean for each of us in our own business and what that can do to create a better world in which we live. It's been a really joyful experience to record this interview. B1G1 do amazing work around the world, and Paul shares a little bit about what they do. And in essence, what they do is they reimagined the world. They reimagined a situation because they believe that if giving was made simple, convenient, and really impactful, that every business and every person would want to give and make a positive difference in our world. So they created the mechanism for businesses to be able to do that and to feel a sense of fulfillment and purpose as they do that, and also to enroll their clientele into that as well. But this particular conversation is far more than a discussion around that. It's really a discussion about being on purpose in your practice and how to do that in a practical sense. Paul is someone who speaks around the world. He talks to business luminaries. He has a lot of wisdom to share, and I'm really honored that he's taken the time to spend an hour with us on this show. I hope you get as much out of this episode as I did listening to it. I sat listening to the conversation, and for a little while there, I was so engaged with what Paul was saying that I forgot that I was meant to be adjusting the controls and all the rest of it. And so I really enjoyed the episode too. So I hope you get something great out of it. I know that this is just loaded with wonderful information and inspiration, and I hope you enjoy it. So without any further ado, here's Paul Dunn. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Today, I'm really pleased to be having a conversation with Paul Dunn. Paul is someone who I look up to as a mentor of my own, and I've been following Paul's work now for a number of years, and he is, in my view, one of the more inspiring business thinkers around. And Paul, it's really great to have you here, so thank you for coming along.
Well, it's really great to be here, particularly after an introduction like that, Jesse. Thank you very much. Let's hope we live up to that, right?
Yeah, no pressure, mate, no pressure at all. Paul, you know, you're really well known in, I suppose, business circles for B1G1, Business for Good. I'm really curious just to start our conversation a little bit about how that business or how that, it's not even a business really, how that entity came into being and what was the driver around that?
Well, I think people listening to us now would understand this truth, and this truth is that we are where we are right now as a result of the, you know, the what someone calls the critical moments, those things that come into our life and we make decisions one way or the other. So for me, I mean, the privilege of being here was brought about because one day something just happened where I realized, and up until that time, I thought that business was all about two things. I thought it was all about adding enormous value to people, which of course it is. Mm. I also thought it was about fun and having fun, which of course it is. But those were really the only two things that drove me. And then a particular circumstance happened, which was all around the 2004 tsunami, which made me realize, hang on, there's actually something else here. And I didn't get it instantly, but it put me, some people that you and I both know say environment dictates performance. And what happened, it put me in an environment where all of a sudden other things were coming at me, if you will. And that led to the founding by meeting Masami Sato. And that led to the founding, if you like, of this, what I think is an extraordinary operation or organization, I should say, which is really saying and setting out to change the way that businesses, to change the fact that businesses, and not big businesses now, but small to medium-sized businesses really can be part of a movement which is setting out to change the way that business is done, and to really understand that each and every one of us in our dental practices, for example, and touching the people that we're so privileged to serve in those practices, working together, we really can change our world in a profoundly important way. And so what I do is, as I said earlier on, it's a privilege to be able to do this. and I think all of us go through, you know, something like that. And hopefully, I mean, today is not about B1G1, as you know. It's about, you know, how people can do better things in their business. But certainly B1G1 is a part of that. But hopefully today, as people listen to us, they'll get that odd little gem, you know. They go, oh, that's interesting. And then they'll follow that thread, and as a result, their lives might change as well.
Fantastic. Well, the reason I wanted to start with B1G1, Paul, not only is it a fantastic operation, but what strikes me about B1G1 is it is absolutely driven by a real sense of purpose. And it's very clear to anyone who interacts with you that you're very clear about what your why is, what your purpose, your reason for existence, if you will, is. And I guess I'm using B1G1 as a segue into having a broader conversation about that, because I'm really curious to understand why being on purpose and understanding our why has, I think it's always been important, but it seems to be more important than ever. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts around that.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you're right. I mean, underpinning all of this is purpose. And the way I would describe that, Jesse, is this. I would begin by saying and by acknowledging that there's never been a time like this. There really hasn't. I mean, and there's all sorts of things about that time that are fascinating. And a lot of people talk about, you know, disruption and technology and all of those sorts of things. And of course, those things are coming at us. A way that I think about that is that they're coming at us at the top of a wave. A lot of people talk about, you know, this wave coming at us. And so, and that's very true, that technology and so on and the speed with which that's happening are creating some fascinating things. And the interesting thing about waves is they always have an undertow, if you know what I mean. And what I see is this, that undertow is that as a result of all of these things that are happening, all of the opportunities that are now there that were never there before, and in particular as a result of the speed, then what's happening is people are saying, stopping and saying, what is this actually about? You know, I'm always on, everything is on 24 hours, but what is this about? And then fundamentally, they're going, and they may not articulate it this way, but what it actually becomes is a search for purpose and a search for meaning. And I like what Brené Brown says about this. She says, you know, connection is why we're here. And then she goes on to say, it's connection really creates that sense of meaning and that sense of purpose. And so if you just draw the equation, you know, purpose equals meaning and connection, you can say, well, without meaning and connection, I'm not on purpose. Without purpose, I haven't got any meaning and connection. And these things are all intertwined. And when people talk, or they hear me talk about that, you know, it is this what Seth Godin refers to as the age of connection. People think, oh, well, he's talking about how I connect with my clients, how I connect with my patients, how I connect with my team. Of course we're talking about that. But fundamentally, we're talking about how you connect with you. That's the crucial bit. And that crucial bit, Jesse, the way that I've started to articulate it recently, thanks to, you know, conversations with people you admire as well, like Simon Sinek, and where he of Start With Why and so on, is, and maybe people listening to us now, and hopefully they won't sort of drive off the road with the profundity of this, but anyway, it goes like this. If we can imagine that inside the top half of our body, there's this thing called a magnet. Now, interestingly though, this is not your normal magnet. This is an electromagnet. That is to say, it needs to be plugged in. And when you plug it in, bang, it switches on, and all of a sudden, you know, things are attracted to you, attracted to this magnet. The question is, what is that power socket into which you plug it in? That's the question. And I think the simple way of saying that is, here's the power socket. It is to each morning be able to say, I get up every morning to. I get up every morning to. What is it that you get up every morning to And I find that a great way of being able to articulate that is just, as you know, to just grab your iPhone. It also works apparently on other devices as well.
Are there other devices?
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, and you simply switch on voice record, and you say, "I get up every morning to," and just complete that sentence. And of course, that's for many of us, it's a pretty challenging thing to do. And so, people listening to us now might sort of put us on hold for a minute and just try that. You know, "I get up every morning to," and just see what comes out. And what's really interesting about what comes out is that many times it can be focusing on self. And I find that there are two words that get it off ourself and get it into the bigger world. So, and let me give you a simple example of that. For example, a lot of women say things like, "I get up every morning," and they think about it for a while, and then they finally come back with, "I get up every morning to be a great example for my children." Now, fundamentally, that's really cool. But let's take a look at what happens when you put the word "so that" on the end of that. So it becomes like this: "I get up every morning to be a great example for my children so that they in turn can inspire the people with whom they connect, and so that what that does is increase the chance for us to make an even bigger dent in the universe." Now, all of a sudden, it's just come off you and onto this bigger picture, which we're all a part of. And the reality is, when we make that a part of what we do each day, which is where B1G1 comes into it, it changes everything. It changes cultures. It changes the way the business works. It really does change everything, because you get it off you and you get it onto, in a sense, the bigger contribution that you're making.
Look, that's fantastic, Paul. And I've been through that exercise you've just described, and I have to tell you, it's a profound exercise. And the first couple of times that you do it, frankly, I found it a bit tough, a bit of a struggle. But you do get there in the end. And so, you know, for those people who are hopefully pausing and reflecting on that exercise, I'd really encourage you to do it. It's been a major shift for me in my life, and Paul was the one that taught me that. But Paul, one of the things when it comes to purpose and seeing this global shift and the search for meaning that we're all striving for, because we are so on all the time, when it comes to bringing that purpose back to your business, you know, we've gone through that exercise and we go, okay, well, I get up every morning too, so that, how does that then translate back into, I suppose, the day-to-day activities?
Well, very, very simply, and by the way, just one little thing about that, and in the latest interview that I did with Simon Sinek, and by the way, I'll give you a little note about that later on so that people can actually tune into that. One of the things that Simon does, and I'll get to the answer to your question now, but one of the things he does is he refers to this whole thing about millennials. And there's lots of things written about millennials. You know, they're terrible people. They don't focus. They you know, all of that sort of stuff. And Simon talks about some stuff that he's never spoken about before. And then he links that into this whole thing about purpose and so on. Now, what's the point that I'm trying to drive at there? What happens is that we know that millennials are attracted to and want to work with people who have a bigger purpose. We know that. There's so much stuff around it. So here's the thing. What a lot of people I find do is when they say, "Oh my gosh, yes, that was revolutionary. I got my why. And now what I want to do is I want to make sure that the team have got it." And so what happens is they create this sort of team environment. And you and I, as you know, are really big on teams. But there's certain things that you use teams for and other things you don't. And so we say, well, let's talk with the team and let's see if we can get our vision, right, our mission. And what you actually get is a camel. That's what you actually get. I mean, you really do. And so it's very important for the business owner to be able to say, no, this is why I get up every morning. And then that becomes the vision, if you like, that you are then articulating to other people so that they are then getting compelled to be a part of what it is that you do. Now, interestingly, that means if you see that, that doesn't mean that they have to have the same why as you. What it means is they're able to say, wow, I really lock onto that vision that we have about how, for example, just because of what we do, we change people's lives. And I think it's very important, by the way, that everybody listening to us now gets that that's exactly what dentists do. They change lives. That's it, you know. And so I can, as a team member of the dentist, I can get involved in that. But my own why might be, you know, I get up every morning because it's the only way I can feed my kids. I mean, that's a ridiculous example. But you know what I'm saying. And as long as my why can be compelling for team members to be able to express their why, which might be different, but they share this bigger vision. And as Simon Sinek says in this interview, he says, you know, what is vision? He says, well, by definition, vision is something that people see. So I've got to be able to see it. And so often when people go away and they come back after, you know, so-called retreats and they say, oh, look at this, here's our mission. And they make sure that they write it down because there's no way that they could remember it. Just so you see it stuck on walls and all of this sort of thing, and it becomes some ethereal thing that's stuck on a wall, which means it doesn't mean anything, which means it's not the thing that's driving you. And so, again, that's why this whole exercise of I get up every morning to, you know, so that is so, so critical. And then to provide a place, again, one of the things I'll perhaps pop in the show notes is we visited a dental practice recently. And I think you may have seen that video that resulted where you know, here's a receptionist talking about the fact that they talk about their why. Amazing. And one of the things that dentist said, they actually didn't say it on camera, but they said it off camera, is that until we got that, this practice, as they call it, was a revolving door for team members. We just couldn't keep them. But when we have something that is strong, that's easily articulated, that people go, oh, wow, I want to be a part of that, then, you know, it just changes everything.
That's really fantastic. And there's a couple of threads I'd just love to pick up there, Paul, because I know typically a lot of businesses and dentists are no exception. They'll go away for their team retreat and they'll almost come up with a vision by consensus. You know, what are we trying to do? But what I'm hearing you say very clearly, and tell me if I've got this right, is that the vision must be set by the leader of the business, the owner, and then it's about attracting the people who buy into it, not coming up with the camel, as you say, the vision by consensus. Yeah?
Absolutely correct. 100% correct. And that means, by the way, you know what that means? That means that you've got to believe in it. I mean, this has got to be the thing that drives you. And by definition, if the thing that drives you is not something that attracts other people, then there's a big issue here, right?
That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it?
Be a solo dentist for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And then I guess, Paul, what you're saying as by extension of that is, therefore, it's not the goal to do business with everyone as well. As you, again, you're trying to draw customers or patients to your practice who buy into that vision as well. So everyone's buying to the vision, everyone's buying to the why. Our goal is not to just hire anyone who's got a pulse, but equally not to do business with anyone who's got a pulse.
That's absolutely correct. And you know, one of the fundamental things that I learnt, and I learnt it from a dentist way back in 1994, was that dentists, it's interesting. And Jesse, you might let me know whether, you know, I can even mention that particular dentist.
Yeah, sure. I'm assuming it's Paddy Lund, right?
This is Paddy Lund, yeah. And, you know, I remember meeting Paddy in 1994, and he was in an audience of mine where I was talking about how you create, you know, better businesses and how you create incredible customer experiences. And he was asking all these questions, and I didn't know who he was. And so during the lunch break, I kind of made a beeline to Paddy. And then he told me he was a dentist, of course, at which point I said to him, okay, take a look at my mouth, which he already was looking at, of course, because he's a dentist.
That's what we do.
And I said, yeah, I said, okay, so how much for this lot? You know, and he said, Paul, that's bulk dentistry. So I've always remembered that. But that led me into this very interesting world of dentistry from the inside. And it led me to see what's actually happening. And Paddy was the epitome of the good and the bad, you know. And the bad was that he was stressed to the eyeballs. And so he took a step back and he said, why is this happening? He said, well, it's happening because I am under enormous stress. Why is that happening? Well, in some cases I'm causing that, but equally I'm getting stressed by dealing with people that where there's no match. And so he did this classic thing which is, you know, you've got the A's, the B's, the C's, and the D's, and recognizing there's nothing wrong with the D's, there's nothing wrong, it's just that they don't fit. They don't believe the things that you believe. And so, as you know, he packaged them up and gave them to another dentist, and the other dentist was really, really grateful. And Paddy, as a result, you know, his stress levels went down. Interestingly, his revenues and profits went up, which is interesting. And Paddy is, you know, and Paddy is not stupid. So he goes, there's a relationship here. Then he goes, the C's are now effectively the D's. So what if I package up the C's and I give them to the same dentist, right? And the other dentist, wow, that's really cool. Thank you, Dr. Lund. You know, I'm so grateful. And, of course, Paddy's income, in the meantime, is rising. The number of hours that he works is going down, and the stress levels are going down, or another way of saying it is the funds going up. So now he's got A's and B's. So he goes, well, actually, the B's are now the D's, which is a very interesting concept, right? And so he goes to give them to this other dentist. The other dentist says, no, don't give me any more. They're driving me crazy, right? So he had to find a way of dealing with it. And as a result, and this is back in, you know, a long time ago, but the reality is what happened then is so, so, so critical. And as a result, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, his revenues go up four times. He's working half the hours that people typically work. He has a referral-only practice. How about that? People are actually seeking him out. He's not seeking to go find other people. They are seeking him. That's a pretty interesting way to be. To put it back to where you were at the start, you know, Simon Sinek says it this way. He says, the goal is not to deal with anyone who might want or need what it is we have. It is to deal with those who believe what we believe. Now, if that's true, and by the way, it is, right, then another way of thinking about that is this SIWSINT, which is success is what I say no to, and also success is who I say no to. And it also means that one of the things we actually should do, if that is true and you know that it is, then we should be talking about, and I don't mean, you know, I don't mean sort of saying, by the way, hello, Jesse, let me tell you what I believe in. No, I don't mean it quite like that. But we should be talking about in our environment, in the stuff that gets out there in social media and so on and so forth. We should be talking about what it is that we believe in, which is another way of saying that we need to be very clear about our why and articulate it, as Simon would say, front and center. And my observation, and I think yours, is that the moment you do that, everything changes. And so what you also understand, I mean, you know, if you think about disruption and stuff, and you think about how that's showing itself in dentistry, and we're seeing, for example, you know, people are getting more concerned about speed. If you're not open at that time, they don't want to know about it. You know, all of that sort of stuff that's going on. We're seeing in Australia, of course, we're seeing, I'm not sure the way you describe it, we're seeing big companies taking over little ones.
Oh, that's happening a lot in dentistry.
All of that is happening. And so it gets increasingly difficult to stand out. But one of the things that we learn is that sometimes we tend to believe that the answer is in, you know, this new tool, this new technology, this new something. And you cannot deny that those things, of course, help. But the answer actually lies within you. It's not outside of you. In other words, if you've got this wonderful new technology, yes, you'll be able to use that to some certain extent. But I don't come to you. I mean, this is very important, right? I don't come to you as a dentist because of the technology. I mean, that might be one of the reasons why I start, but I come to you and I stay with you because of you. And I do that because of the experience that I'm undergoing when I deal with you, that whole kind of what I describe as that sort of for them thing, that ethos, which says this has just got to be such a cool place for people to be, a place where people are understanding that they're the heroes of people. People come in with their understanding, with doing things in order to change their lives and stuff like that. And when that happens, I tell you what a cool place for everybody to be.
Look, I think it's fantastic. It's really interesting you talk about that, Paul, because one of the things that I've observed or a couple of observations. One is that when people are talking about their business, then very few are talking about, you know, their why, their purpose, and so on. And it comes down to a discussion of features and benefits. Yeah, it's almost like my work is better than the next person's, or my work is cheaper than the next person's, which for me is really extraordinarily lazy marketing. And I know this is not necessarily a conversation about marketing per se, but I do think it all kind of flows into it. And the second comment, and I'd love you just to kind of pick these threads up and run with them if you can. Well, I know you can. The other thing that I would also like to talk about is, and I think you've touched on it already, is with these tools and communication pieces, because dentists love tools, we love technology, and I love technology too. But my big bugbear is that dentistry and services become transactional rather than relational. Yeah, what are your thoughts around those two comments?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways that I can. I mean, that's a fabulous lead into a whole kind of gambit of what sound like, oh yeah, well, you know, that's an easy cliche. But let me just run the cliches for a minute and then see if I can pack them out. So, you know, for me, it's about doing a couple of things. It's about how do you create a business that moves from being dispensable to indispensable? How do you do that? Another way of saying that is, how do you build a business that matters? How do you do that? Now, what's interesting is, and there are all sorts of people, you know, who I look to and who you look to illustrate that in some depth. One of the people that I think gets it so, so right is Bernadette Jiwa. You know, how powerful she is through her Story of Telling blog. But what I really, really like is how she says this. And let me just make sure that I'm saying it correctly by just referring to something that she says. And what she says is this, in the foreword of a book called Meaningful, she says, the best products and services, and Jesse, what this gets into is this whole thing about features and benefits. And she says, the best products and services in the world don't simply invite people to say, this is awesome. They remind people of how great they are themselves. That's crucial. And then she talks about having values and stuff like that, because that's what it is that attracts people to you. And then, how about this? Now, here's a classic sentence which really sums up where this goes. And she says, our job is not simply to obsess about the features and the benefits of what we're making. It is to wonder and to care about the difference we make to people and to our world. Now, once you get that, isn't that like...
That is cool. That is really cool.
Isn't it cool? And that's one of the reasons why, of course, B1G1 plays into that whole essence. Because as someone said to me the other day, they said, you know, all of this, and Jesse, I know that you've spoken about this too, is all of this is about the stories. It's about the stories we tell ourselves. It's about the story we tell others. And it's about the stories that other people tell others about us. And so someone was talking to us the other day about what B1G1 meant to them. And they said what it means is that B1G1 enables us to tell better stories. And I love that, because what B1G1 does is enable you, as you know, to kind of match the services that you're providing to making huge differences in our world. So, you know, someone can be coming into your environment, and then, you know, they stand at the where they pay the bill, and you might just give them this little note that says, Mrs. Jones, thanks so much for letting us have the privilege of working with you today, and, as you know, changing a few things, the way you smile or whatever. I mean, you may not want to talk about the service, and then you say, to say thank you for that, Mrs. Jones, we express that. We thought you'd love to know that just as a result of you being in XYZ practice this morning, 17 kids got access to pure life-saving water. Their life has changed forever, and we hope we've had a similar impact on yours as well. I mean, Mrs. Jones, like, what?
I'm getting shivers up my neck as we're talking there, mate. I can feel that. It's just so empowering, engaging, and it's wonderful.
Well, have a guess what Mrs. Jones says when she finally gets that, you know, when the anesthetic, if we still use it, is worn off and she's game to have a cup of coffee and not drip it down the front, right? And so she's talking with a friend, and friend says, so where'd you go? Oh, I was down at the dentist. Oh, really? What was that like? Hey, look at what actually happened. Just as a result of me being there, You know, there are dentists, for example, in the United Kingdom who discovered B1G1 simply as a very, very, very smart way to give. You know, it's like you've got all of this choice. You've got 100% of your giving going where you want it to go. You're part of a movement of similarly thinking businesses around the world. And that's why they were part of B1G1. But what they actually found is when they started expressing this, just as I expressed it there, their referrals, and by the way, they already had awesome systems in place for referrals, but they found just by connecting in that way right there, and the purpose was to give, right? And the purpose was to connect. They found their referrals jumped 300%. What that actually says is that this is not, you know, about getting referrals. It's about when you seriously, through purpose and through the discussions we've had so far, you connect with who you are, and then you find a way of expressing that so that, for example, through B1G1 in the way in which I just did, so that other people go, oh my gosh, that's something I want in my life as well, you know? And that's when it starts to spread.
And the key with that as well, Paul, just to kind of pick up that thread, is the purpose was not to get the referrals. That's the byproduct. The purpose was to give. And so I think going into it with the right spirit is absolutely critical to that. Paul, you've given us a wonderful example of how to create connection. You mentioned earlier that Brené Brown spoke, you know, really a lot about connection in her book, Daring Greatly, and on her TED Talk and all the rest of it. One of the things that I'm also fascinated by is how to create a customer experience that, you know, from beginning to end. We obviously touched on that situation you've just given as the example where we've been able to use giving in that context. But if you were to think about designing a customer experience where there's moments of connection, you know, I suppose stacked upon one another, because for me that's the ultimate customer experience really, how would you go about creating that? Do you have any thoughts about what that would take to put together?
Well, yeah, I do. And you know, the fortunate thing is, Jesse, that, you know, we grow up. What I mean by that is this. Years ago, when people used to very lovingly, I must say, refer to me as the Wizard of Wow. That's how they used to refer to me. Right? On account of how I was going around the world, saying, you know, it's all about creating wow. It's all about creating wow. And to some extent, people, quote unquote, bought into that. But then there was a day when I realized it's actually not about doing that at all. Because once you do that, how do you top it? You can't, right? So that's when, you know, I picked up what guys like Michael Gerber have been saying for years, which is that fundamentally it is that there's no such thing as a business. All there is a series of processes, or as he would say it, processes. All there is a series of processes. And so, for example, one of those processes might be the way you answer the phone. That's a process. One of the processes might be the way you welcome people into the practice. One of the processes might be the way you introduce your dental nurse. One of the processes might be, you know what I'm saying? And what I'm looking at is very, 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 very fine stuff. Fine, fine, fine stuff.
So fine slices of the experience, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly right. And then once I've figured out what they are, then the question I'm going to ask is this. I'm going to ask, and actually I've learned a better question recently too. But the question that I would normally ask is this. Is this how an inspiring company would do this? And there's a reason why I ask that question. So you go, well, actually, is the way an inspiring company would do it this? Good afternoon, ABC Dental Practice. For one, press for service, press one. But there's, but I mean, you've got to be kidding me! They wouldn't do that.
Can I just throw another example in? Just sorry, Paul. To confirm your appointment, press Y. To cancel, press N. Oh, kills me. Sorry, go on. I interrupted you. Sorry, mate.
No, but isn't that interesting? But that's actually an interesting point. It's such an interesting point because it gets back to this point we were using before about technology. And one of the things we hear about technology is, oh, look at that. I can do that quicker. I can do that smart. I can do that this whatever. Or I can save, here's the big one, I can save money that way.
Right? Yeah.
But the question you have to ask about that is, does this enhance or detract from the customer experience? Now, if the answer is it detracts from, then it doesn't matter how much money you save by doing that. You're doing the wrong thing. So don't even go there. But thank you for picking that up. Yeah, it's a great one. So the question I ask is this how the world's most inspiring company would deal with that? Now, or someone said to me the other day in the United Kingdom, a guy called Nigel Bottrell. Nigel said to me, actually, Paul, you know, that's a great question. He said, and I can see why it's a great question. Because he said, by definition, what happens is people experience that little tiny thing in the process and they don't go, oh, my God, that was amazing. There's something that happens in their head where they go, oh, that was interesting. And then the next process happens, oh, wow, that was interesting. And then, oh, look at that. They did that as well. Oh, my God. And then all of these experiences come together. So the people go, you know what? That was just a super thing to hang out with you this morning. I so appreciated it. And it's all because of those little things that we do. Nigel said, he said, you know, I get that point about, you know, you should ask about the individual process. And you could say, is this how the world, you know, the most inspiring company or the most inspiring organization would do that? He said, there's a better one. He said, well, he actually said, there's another one you might want to consider. And he said, the other one to consider is this the way the best company in the world would do that? And I get it because, and in fact, one of the things that I'm doing right now, and just to sort of go off at an apparent tangent for the moment, is to learn another question to ask. And the other question that I ask myself now, because it actually is all about how do we play a bigger game? It's actually about that. Or a more meaningful game, if you like, or a game that matters. And so one of the questions I ask me, as in myself, you know, it's kind of like this alter ego that looks in occasionally and says, hey, Paul, are you being the best possible you right now? Now, what's interesting about that, so let's imagine the dentist who's listening to this podcast and is about to get into their practice, they're about to open the door. By the way, what the door looks like is a critical process as well. What actually happens when they go in, that's a critical process. What's a critical process is where they walk from the car to the, you know, from the car park to the all of these things are critical processes. And sadly, of course, what the dentist will do is they'll enter from the back door, right? They'll never see how it looks when you go in the front door. You know what I'm saying? The same thing is true for team members. So we could go, okay, well, this is, you know, I'm doing this particular thing, which I know a hygienist could do, but I'm actually doing it, for example, because that's the way it works, as a for example. Now, that may be a bad example, but what happens is we all get into doing things that we're comfortable with and we just get used to, as opposed to taking time out from this I'm always on 24 hours world and being able to say, actually, is that being the best possible me right now in terms of the development of the business? So, for example, is it being the best possible me that the first thing I do when I go up and after I've, you know, gone to the toilet, for example, is it being the best possible me to jump into emails? Maybe not. Maybe the best possible me. In fact, someone I was talking with the other day said, you know what, Paul, you've got to get the MIT strategy. And I said, what's the MIT strategy? Thinking it meant, you know, the university in the US, right? And they said, no, it means most important thing first. And that is so, so cool, right? Most important thing first. And so all of a sudden, you know, you get the to-do list, but we tend to fill it up with all of those things that like have got to be done, which actually someone else probably could do. And we forget the most important thing first.
I really love that. There's a whole lot of threads there I'd love to pick up, Paul, because, you know, there's so much gold in all of that. And as always, Paul, whenever I'm sitting here listening to this podcast myself, almost as the audience member, which is just fantastic. But what I really just wanted to pick up there is something you just mentioned earlier was the little thin slices of the customer experience. When you slice that into, you know, thin critical processes and you ask yourself, is this what the best company in the world would do? I really love that analogy because one of the things that I always find that comes up when people are talking about, you know, developing a customer experience, it all comes down to stuff that's outside of the person. And it's not about the connection. It's about, you know, having the scented candles or the plasma screen TV or the, you know, whatever it is. And in essence, what I'm hearing you say and what I've long believed as well is that, you know, that's all, you know, fine and dandy, but the real experience, the one that matters, is the human experience.
That's right. And to get back to what we were talking about before about purpose and that interview that I'm going to give you the link to Simon says, all purpose is human. And your thing about the scented candles, that's such a lovely thing. It's not about window dressing. It's about, you know, what's going on inside. Think about it again in terms of that magnet and switching it on and plugging it into that plug, so that, you know, the purpose plug, if you want to call it that way, or the power purpose plug, let's call it. I've never said that before, by the way, Jesse, but anyway, I've never talked about
that. That'll be the power purpose plug TM, Paul.
There you go. I think we should do that. Yeah. Exactly. But what a cool concept that it's actually not about, because, you know, one of the things we started talking about before, we were talking about disruption and we were talking about speed of that. And what I think is actually happening is we know, and there's studies on this, that our attention spans are going down and down and down and down and down. The hump, if the dentist watching us now, some of them have children, and the children have dragged them to, what's that thing, Finding Dory, you know, about the goldfish. We are now at a state of development, quote unquote, where our attention span is less than that of a goldfish.
You're kidding me.
Now, so what that means is, because of always on, I think our senses are now being heightened so that we're trusting our guts more, and we're actually learning to decode things much, much quicker. And so we instantly decode trust, not trust. And we're getting much better at decoding that. You know why? Because we have to. Because we think that we don't have the time to mess around with all of that stuff. And we can smell it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we really can smell it. But when you are seriously on purpose, we can actually feel that. It just comes across in everything that you do. It really does.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, Paul, I just want to pick up one last thread before we round out our conversation today, because you did drop a lovely little piece of gold into the conversation. It would be remiss of me not to pick it up and run with it for a moment. You spoke about being caught up with things that are, you know, busy, you know, the things that are in front of your nose, and not necessarily taking the time out to think about the bigger picture, think about your purpose, and I guess it's a little bit about prioritizing the to-do list that, you know, is forever growing. Just in a practical sense, because I know you have a lot of things that you do in your life, and B1G1 is obviously a huge part, but I know you're a mentor to lots of people as well. How is it that you create the space in your day to be able to think critically about some of those things and to give yourself that time when you're off, when you can actually go within and think a little bit more deeply about some of those issues?
Well, that's because it's the most important thing.
So it is. How do you turn the noise off?
Oh, well, someone said to me the other day, let's think of news as noise. I like that. So here's what you do. For me, at least, it's being crazily curious. You know, it's like wanting to look at stuff and then realize that if I look at it long enough and it becomes part of me, then I have the opportunity to share that and make a difference in a wider sphere. So it's very, very important for me to take that. The other thing that I find is very interesting, Jesse, it's just kind of hanging out with people like you and taking time to do that. Because the reality is, you know, as we go through this, I mean, yes, I know, you know, hopefully people joining us have, you know, gotten, you know, a whole host of stuff from that. But it would be totally remiss for people to say, wow, that was great. I got something from it. Thank you, Paul. No. Paul actually got something from all of this too, because, you know, you're in that space where you go, I mean, I'm sure this happens to you, but where I go, my God, where did that thought come from? And it actually came because I was putting myself in that place where the propensity, the likelihood of additional thoughts coming to you was dramatically increased. Now, for some people, that might be getting up in the morning and spending 25 minutes with themselves, meditating and stuff like that. For me, that's actually not where it is, although a little bit of that happens at the latter part of the day. But it is just simply interacting and being curious and learning from that and understanding that, you know, we don't always get it right and we don't need to get it right. But there's just now so many opportunities to be able to share time with so many people who are doing incredible things, and then being able to pick up on that. And interestingly, not copying what they do, but then putting that in your experience and being able to express it in new ways that become even more meaningful to people. And I think that's part of what my life is about.
Well, Paul, you absolutely embody purpose and meaning, And I can see in everything that you do, it is just driven by a strong sense of purpose, a strong sense of belief. And Paul, I'd really like to just take an opportunity on behalf of the audience and from myself, of course, just thank you for coming onto our show today and sharing your wisdom and insights. Every time I speak to you, Paul, I come away learning a whole lot of stuff, and I really hope the audience has too, and I'm sure they have. And I just really wanted to take a moment to say thank you so much for your generosity, mate. You're a kind and good man. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And you mentioned goosebumps before, and I have to tell you, I've got them right now as well. So thank you for providing the opportunity, and for all of and for you listening, thank you too. I hope it's enhanced your day.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.